Welcome to the Mercies of God radio broadcast, sponsored by the Mercies of God Association of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, with today's message, here is the late Dr. Peter Nortier.
If it's possible for you to do so, get your Bible down and turn back with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. Listen to the Word of God. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold, thy servant, or slave. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now skip down, if you will, to verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Today we're going to bring you another lesson on the magnificence of the grace of God. God's grace, we find, is one of the major doctrines in the entire Bible. I've learned to study the Word of God from seven major doctrines found there, and I want to share them with you. Let me give them to you, if I may, for a few moments. The first one is the sovereignty of God. The second one is the total depravity of man. The third one is blood redemption. The fourth one is salvation by grace. The fifth one is the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. The sixth one is the second coming of Christ. And then the seventh one is the doctrine of Satan. These are major doctrines, and around them, all the other doctrines in the Bible revolve in a beautiful symmetry. Now today, we're going to look at an aspect of the doctrine of salvation by grace. So you follow along with us, if it's possible for you to do so. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be referring over and over again to the Word of God, and we want you to follow along with us, if it's at all possible. If it isn't possible, just listen carefully, if you will. Our first premise upon which we shall build is the meaning of the term grace. I'm going to give you three different meanings of the term grace, because to understand grace, you need to understand, first of all, what it means. Now, the first meaning is this: God's redemption at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's redemption at Christ's expense. This is a good definition, and one easy to be remembered. Salvation did come at the expense of the Lord Jesus, and there is no other way of redemption. The second meaning of the word grace is, grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon the unworthy, and irresistibly accomplishing its purpose with regard to its design, thus controlling every aspect and circumstance which affects the life of the individual. Now that's true, my friend. I want you to chew on that, if you will. Grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon the unworthy, and irresistibly accomplishing its purpose with regard to its design, thus controlling every aspect and circumstance which affects the life of the individual. And this was true with regard to Mephibosheth. The third meaning of the term grace is as follows. There's a great one in a book written by George Bishop, and it goes like this. Grace is a provision of God for men so fallen they cannot lift the axe of justice, so corrupt they cannot change their nature, so adverse to God they cannot turn to Him, so blind they cannot see Him, so deaf they cannot hear Him, and so dead that God Himself must open their graves and lift them into resurrection. Now, beloved, these are the three meanings of grace, and I'll tell you right now, they're all set forth here in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and I hope you study your Bible from that aspect. Now, let's see how these are brought forth in our text in 2 Samuel chapter 9. The first thing we see is that grace is initiated by King David. David asked the question, if there was any of the house of Saul that he could show the kindness of God to them. Here we see that King David acted on the basis of a covenant between David and Jonathan before Mephibosheth was ever born. The covenant made with these two men was that whichever one remained alive, he would take care of the other one's seed. David was kept alive, Jonathan was killed in battle, and David now was to carry out the covenant made between him and Jonathan. Now you hold your seat. This covenant is a picture of the covenant of redemption drawn up by the Godhead before the foundation of the world. Now listen again. This covenant caused grace to be selective, and it's the same thing with the covenant of redemption. God doesn't have to save anybody, but God has selected and determined to save a number of people, and I'll tell you right now, they're all going to come, one here and one there, because all that the Father has given to Christ shall come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, coupled with this, the covenant took into account the sinful, helpless condition of the individuals upon whom grace was to be bestowed. We see it in our passage, because David, the king, was determined to shed grace to the sinner Mephibosheth, who was of the house of Saul, the deadly enemy of David, until his death. In like manner, the covenant of redemption takes into account the enmity and the wickedness of the individuals upon whom the grace of God is to be bestowed. Now look with me for a moment at the condition and place where Mephibosheth was residing. First of all, his name means out of my mouth shame. And how true that is. People today, all they know how to do is curse the Lord God of heaven. Out of every sinner's mouth comes shame. Out of many believers' mouth comes shame also, and how we need to repent of these things. Now notice carefully, out of my mouth comes shame. The second thing was this. He was not only living in the place of Lodebar, but we find not only that, he was lame because of a fall. Now Lodebar means a place of no pasture. And in this we see a picture of the world, because the world cannot give anything lasting to the individual. You and I are living in a place of no pasture, which is the world. We're like Mephibosheth before the Lord God of heaven saved us. And then we find not only was there a place of no pasture, but we also see there was no interest on the part of Mephibosheth to have communion with King David. What a picture of every unsaved sinner at this hour. My friend, we find very clearly this is your condition if you are not a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. Now let's move on and see the magnificence of grace in its actions, if we will. Notice verse 3, where King David said, "Is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Here is the first step. The grace of God is irresistible in its actions. Now notice, it seeks out the most unlikely candidate upon which grace is to be bestowed. This was Mephibosheth, and it was also you and me before the Lord God ever converted us, and it's you if you still not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder of grace is that we don't know upon whom it is to be bestowed, just as Mephibosheth did not know until it took place. Notice the second aspect of grace, if you will. It is not only inscrutable, but it is also irresistible in its accomplishments. David did not ask Mephibosheth anything. He fetched him out of the place of no pasture into his presence by irresistible force. And the same thing takes place today. Suddenly, positively, sovereignly, and surprisingly, we find what happens. God brings the sinner into his presence as David brought the sinner Mephibosheth into his presence. In like manner, as I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit of God does the same to the individual. One moment, the person is dead in their sin. The next moment, they are standing in the presence of God as David stopped by the heart's door of Mephibosheth, brought him into his presence, with the result being Mephibosheth was filled with fear and reverence. And I'll say to you very kindly, there's not much fear of God today in our religious circles, and how sad it is. But it tells us very clearly something is wrong with their relationship to Christ. You see, Mephibosheth was filled with fear and reverence. The prominent quality of this is that David called Mephibosheth by name. Now notice that. He could not get away anymore. And when God calls an individual by name, I'll tell you right now, we can't get away from the Lord God of heaven anymore. Listen, my friend, this is what God does. It's a picture of what happens spiritually to an individual. God calls the individual by name, and that person knows it absolutely. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what I'm speaking of at this hour, my friend? Or is this foreign to you? Listen to the Word of God in the New Testament where it says in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We find there are many other verses speaking of being called by name, as it is a method of God in redemption from Genesis to Revelation. It began in the Garden of Eden and is continuing on at this present hour, and I'm glad it is. The next thing about grace is that it is indescribable in its composition and action. Grace cannot be studied, learned, or understood. Listen now, it must be experienced, which takes place as grace comes after the individual. Mephibosheth did not expect grace. He did not know anything about grace until it took place in his heart. Suddenly, absolutely, indelibly, and mysteriously, grace did what? It sought him out, made him to know and understand the kind of a person he was before the king. Well, now, how do you know that? Well, our text said very clearly, Mephibosheth fell on his face and did reverence. And when David spoke to him, "Who am I that you'd show kindness to a dead dog like me?" Oh, listen, my friend. Mephibosheth, when he was first brought into the presence of David, expected to be put to death by David. But instead, he received the best that David could give him. Here, his fear is seen in the verse 6, where David said unto him, "Mephibosheth," he answered and said unto David, "Behold, thy servant or slave." Then comes the gracious words of the king, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and thou shalt eat at my table continually." What a message this must have been, but I'll tell you right now, it must have flabbergasted Mephibosheth, and it does you and me when it takes place. Now notice the reaction of Mephibosheth, if you will. He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Here we see the workings of grace in the soul of Mephibosheth. He sees himself as a dead dog, which describes his condition before the king. A dog is a greedy creature, one that eats all kinds of flesh, returns to its own vomits, and it also describes a male prostitute under the curse of God in the book of Deuteronomy. This is a full description of every sinner outside of Christ, and grace makes us see ourselves as God sees us. You see, my friend, no one will ever truly admit their condition before God until the grace of God works it in the heart of the individual. Mephibosheth knew this. He was filled with such amazement at what took place that he just couldn't hardly answer a word. However, grace is not through as yet, because it not only causes us to see our condition before the king, but it also reveals to us the purpose of being in the king's presence. Oh, my friend, today, well, I tell you right now, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Salvation is the greatest experience an individual can ever have this side of eternity. And my hope is that you know what I'm talking about. Because I have to ask you this question. What about you, my friend? Do you possess what we have been describing? Or is it foreign to you? It all comes because of Christ, and it's all of grace. And that makes grace what? Free, sovereign, irresistible, personal. And my friend, that's the only kind of grace that God ever bestows upon an individual. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it is too late.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. Join us again next time for the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier.